الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وحده لا شريك له ولا نظير له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون وقال تعالى منكم من يريد الدنيا ومنكم من يريد الآخرة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب دنياه أضر بآخرته ومن أحب آخرته أضر بدنياه فآثروا ما يبقى على ما يفنى أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers, in the early 1960s, there was a young alim from South Africa who had qualified in Darul Uloom Deoband and was now returning home. Before returning, he went and met his asatiza, his teachers, at the campus and the university that he was studying in to ask them for some advice that now he's coming back to South Africa. How should he work amongst the community, the people of this country? So amongst the great luminaries of the time, one was the name of Qari Muhammad Tayyab Saab Rahmatullah Ali, and the other's name was Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. Both these great Akabir Buzrugani Deen, they had given him this one advice. And they told him, you're coming back to South Africa, you're coming to work with the people in this country. One advice we would give you is that as far as the people of South Africa are concerned, alhamdulillah, there's a good awakening in as far as Deen is concerned. You'll find people going to the masjid for their salah, people engaged in the tilawat of the Quran, making dhikr, sending the children to become hafiz, alim, etc. But if there's a weakness amongst the people which we feel that you should work on, is this concept of understanding the life of the akhirat, the life of the hereafter. So if you want any advice from us, our advice to you is, go back to your people and conscientize them about akhirat and the life after death. So he says, when I came back home, then I made this the focus of my life. That in every bayan of mine, every lecture of mine, every dars lesson of mine, whether I sat with a few youngsters, or whether I sat in a ladies program, or whether I wrote an article, but I made sure that every time I spoke, I made sure some aspect of akhirat, some aspect about the next life I did discuss, in conformity with the advice of my teachers in Deoband. And this Ali was none other than the late Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Adam Rahmatullah Ali of Cape Town. Many of the older people may remember him. His lectures would come out, one topic would be stretched over 20-30 cassettes. He would speak about the life in the Qabr, 20 cassettes, Jannah, 30 cassettes, Jahannam, 20 cassettes. And his bayans would be lengthy talks just on the life after death. My respected elders and friends, when a little child enters the maktab, and the child enters the madrasa in grade 1, amongst the first things that the child is taught is his kalimas, imani mujmal, imani mufassal. Amantu billah wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'thi ba'd al maut. The child is taught aspects of akhirat, that from this little age understand that your purpose of your life is not this dunya, but rather the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala has created us for a reason, for a purpose.
It's drummed in the heart and the mind of the child. That remember, you're living, you're not living for this world, you're living for Akhirat. Over and over again, this lesson and the sabak has been drilled in our minds and in our hearts. If you look at the pages of the Quran Kareem, start off from the very first page of the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala on the very first page of the Quran Sharif is conscientizing us that amongst the first things you need to bring into your life is that yaqeen and that conviction in the life after death, the akhirat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for. In the hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, Al-kayyis man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. An intelligent person, these are the words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to us who an intelligent man is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Al-kayyis man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. Really a brilliant man is that person who he curbs his desires and he prepares for the life after death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying an intelligent man is that person who's got so many degrees. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying an intelligent man is the one who knows how to make the most amount of money. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying that an intelligent man is the person who's got the most amount of investments or property. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that intelligent person, that brilliant man is the one who's preparing for the life after death. That when he reaches that era of his life and he passes over this realm and he moves into the realm of the next, then he's got so much prepared for himself that it's only comfort, luxury and enjoyment for him. This is an intelligent man. وَالْعَاجِزْ مَنْ أَدْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says a foolish person. Foolish person is that person, he goes full into his desires. Whatever his nafs and his desires tell him to do, he just does. Whether it's in conformity with the laws of Allah or not, he just follows his base desires and then he's hoping that he can reach somewhere. So this is in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who an intelligent person is, who a foolish person is. In another hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, he says, الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. This dunya, this world, Allah has created it to serve you. In other words, everything in this world, the rising of the sun in the morning, the setting of the sun in the evening, the rising of the moon at night, the rain clouds that come and rain upon the crops, the trees that produce fruit, the crops that produce vegetables, the animals that are being fattened to feed man, this whole world Allah created it to serve insan. الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, this world, I created it for you. وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. But Allah Ta'ala then brings us to the next point, and He says, you insan, you have been created for Akhirat. This world, Allah created it to serve you, but you have been created for Akhirat. In other words, prepare ourselves for that time when we'll have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go into the next world, Allah ta'ala make it easy for us. When that moment comes for us to pass from this realm to the next realm, it's a moment of joy and happiness for us. It's a moment when the kalima is on our tongues, when Allah is pleased with us, and Allah usher us straight into Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Once Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the initial stages of Islam, he ascended a mountain called Mount Safa. When we go for Umrah or we go for Hajj, then there's a place that we normally run between Safa and Marwa. This is a mountain that was there, Mount Safa. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended this mountain. This was the initial stages of Islam when he just became a Nabi. And then he called, this was an open da'wat. It was an open da'wat that he gave to the entire Quraysh. And he shouted from the top of the mountain, Ya Ahla Quraysh, O people of the Quraysh, come forward. The people came running, oh, Ya Muhammad. They knew Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a very truthful person, a very honest person, a person with excellent character and akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stood in front of them and he turned around and he told him, if I have to tell you that behind me at the bottom of this mountain, there is an army that is equipped to its teeth, waiting to attack you, will you believe me? If I tell you this, they said, we will definitely believe you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you are a person who lies never emanated from your tongue. He says, in the same way, like how you would believe me if I warned you that there's an army waiting here, I am warning you of a life that is coming after this life that is called the life of Akhirat. And that person who doesn't believe in Allah, and doesn't prepare for that life of the akhirat, he's going to suffer everlasting doom and difficulty in that life. That was the occasion when Abu Lahab then shouted at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and cursed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or he tried to curse Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in retaliation Allah cursed him in the Quran. Tabba jada abi lahabi wa tab was revealed and Abu Lahab was now cursed. This was that occasion. In this moment also, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was bringing to light is conscientize yourself about akhirat. Try and prepare and focus your mind on akhirat. My respected elders and brothers, sometimes it happens to us that days pass, sometimes weeks pass, sometimes months pass. This word akhirat doesn't even cross our tongues. It doesn't even pass our ears. That we become so engrossed sometimes in our worldly activities that we forget about the life of the hereafter. We forget that one day we are moving to another realm. There was one jamaat in our masjid. One of the brothers that was, they were out for 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the brothers that was there, he was mentioning, you're seeing sometimes in our talks, if somebody amongst ourselves, if we're speaking, and someone has to mention the word or the country of Dubai, or the city of Dubai, someone speaks about it. We've never been to the place. We don't know what it looks like. But immediately a picture will come in our mind. Perhaps the beaches or the malls or the palm trees or something regarding the aeroplanes, the Emirates flight, something regarding Dubai will come in our minds. Why? Because we speak about it, we read about it, we see it all the time. And that picture comes, although we haven't been there, but it comes, that picture will come to our mind. Someone speaks to us about America. We haven't been to America, but some picture will come in our mind. Perhaps the Statue of Liberty or the Twin Towers, Pentagon, New York. Something will come in our mind, the dollar. Some picture will come in our mind. Because we speak about it so much, that picture will come in our mind, even though we haven't seen it. You see, unfortunately, sometimes when someone speaks about akhirat, someone speaks about qabr, someone speaks about jannat, someone speaks about jahannam, any aspect of akhirat, our minds are blank. Because we don't speak about, we don't discuss it. Whereas this is such an important part of the life of a Muslim, that in our homes every day, we're supposed to be speaking about akhirat. So our children also grow up, they know we've got a focus. There's a goalpost ahead of us. Can we imagine two teams playing with no goalpost? Where are they going to kick up in the air? Which direction do they move? There's no goalpost. The goalpost of a Muslim is his akhirat. He's moving towards that. He's moving towards that very, very fast. He's preparing himself for that. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam was a very wise man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed on whole surah in the Quran, Suratul Luqman. His advices to his son have all been written in this surah. In this he advises him and he says, "Oh my son, become from the sons of the akhirat, not of the sons of this world. Because every day your face is towards the akhirat and your back is towards the world. And as every second passes, you are moving closer and closer and closer to the akhirat. So prepare yourself for the akhirat in accordance to the amount of time you're going to spend in the akhirat. And prepare yourself for the dunya in accordance to the amount of time you're going to spend in this world." This is the advice given by these great luminaries for us to prepare ourselves for the akhirat. On the occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was building Masjid an-Nabawi, the masjid in Medina Munawwara, then whilst building the masjid, the Sahaba Kiram say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on chanting out these words, "Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah." Oh Allah, really there is no life besides the life of the akhirat. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Real life is the life of the akhirat. Again, why? To conscientize the Sahaba. Keep your focus there. Keep your focus. I'm going towards akhirat. When a person's mind is there, no matter what difficulty and hardship he may go through, but he knows that this life is just temporary, I'm going there. That's where Allah has prepared everything for me there. I will prepare myself for that life and the life of the akhirat. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he's prepared one kitab. The name of the kitab is called Fazaile Sadaqat. Fazaile Sadaqat. It translates as Virtues of Charity. It's an excellent book to read in our homes on a daily basis, because this entire book is filled with ahadith and Quranic ayat regarding the life after death. Every part of the life after death is discussed in this book in detail, and all our senior ulama are stressing on this point in our homes and in our masajid. This kitab must be read. It must be read to conscientize us about akhirah. Our madrasa, alhamdulillah, every day after Fajr Salah, from the minbar, every day after Fajr Salah, this kitab is read. Why? To conscientize the students in the madrasa. That remember where we are going to. We are heading towards the akhirah. There's one hadith where Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhiratihi." That person who loves the dunya is definitely going to cause some harm to his akhirat. "Waman ahabba akhiratahu adarra bi dunyahu." And that person who loves the akhirat, he's going to cause some harm to his dunya. "Fa'athiru ma yabqa ala ma yafna." Give preference to that which is everlasting over that which is temporary. The advice of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Respected elders and friends, for one moment a person must not misunderstand and feel that now he must divorce himself from the dunya, divorce himself from the world, and engage himself totally in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather it must be such, the words of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the advice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبْ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. You make a moderate effort in this life of yours, and then place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is that a person's business is consuming him so much that he cannot even come to the masjid to perform his 5 times daily salah, then this dunya has taken over him and he has forgotten his goalpost. But if he is in the dunya, he's earning, he's got a business, he's content, he's placed his trust in Allah, he comes to the masjid for salah, he's got time to spend with his wife and his children, he helps out with social welfare work, he's involved in a community work as well. Now this man has got his goalpost in front of him. He knows where he's going. He's got some direction. Allah is in front of him. The dunya is behind him. Otherwise, if a person, Allah Ta'ala save us from this, there's one word that has gripped the hearts of many men today. Is a word that's called greed. That when this greed comes in the heart of a person, then nothing is enough. No amount of money can be enough for a person. A friend of mine, he had a knife shop. Allah Ta'ala was taking out his rosy very well from that shop. From there, every year he's going for Umrah. Every second year he's buying a brand new car. He got no debts at all on his head. His children are well looked after. He's got a nice house. Everything is, all he does every morning, he goes 8:30 to the shop. 4:30 he's closing the shop, he's coming home. Every now and again he's going out 3 days in the path of Allah Ta'ala, spending time in the masjid. Spends extra time after Maghrib, after Isha, reciting Quran Sharif in the masjid. Now, opportunity came up. We call it, in inverted commas, opportunity. Shaitan is dangling a carrot in front of us. Another business came up. So he thought, let me take that business also. So he made mashwara with his father. He asked his father some advice. Father told him, son, see, you got this one business. Allah Ta'ala is taking care of all your needs. You're short of nothing. How are you going to run two businesses at the same time? How are you going to shuttle yourself between this shop and that shop? So he said, it's an opportunity. It's a good supermarket. Let me take it on. So he said, see, if you're not going to be here and you're not going to be there, you're going to end up with holes in both these shops. And you're going to lose out both sides. But unfortunately, that greed, when it goes too much, he decided he's taking it. When he took the other business, he sees that this business is sinking. Now he's trying to pick this business up. In order to pick the business up here, he's trying to take money from here and put it in this shop. Both the shops started sinking. This is that greed. When a person is never content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. أَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. Make a moderate effort and then place your trust in Allah. Allah Ta'ala will take care of all your needs. But now when dunya becomes the purport of a person's life and he forgets Allah, he forgets what he's here in this world for, then the masjid is never in his life. He forgets his wife and children. Days and days go past, he hasn't spent time with his kids. Why? Because so much of time in the dunya. When this aspect of akhirat comes out of a person's life and he forgets where he's heading towards, then it becomes very difficult to live in this world. Everything becomes a problem, everything becomes difficult. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was a very great alim of his time. He was once boarding a train in India to go to a certain destination. The station master noticed Maulana being a senior alim of the town. He ran up to Maulana and told him that, Hazrat, don't worry about buying a ticket. You sit down in your seat and I will ensure that you reach your destination. So Maulana smiled at him and told him, you have been employed by the train station to work for them. How can you discount my tickets? He said, Maulana, no one will know about it. So he says, Allah will know about it. So he says, never mind, Maulana, you carry on. Don't worry about buying the ticket. So mama says, okay, I don't mind, I'll board the train, but when I reach the next station, there's another train that I have to catch from there to go to the next station from there. Station master says, no problem, I know the station master on that side, I will inform him that you are coming, he won't charge you for the ticket on that side as well. Mama smiled at him and he said, and when I reach that second station, then there's a third station that I need to go, how am I going to go from there? So he says, Mona, there's no other station from there. The tracks come to an end over there. There is no station after that. Mona says, there is one more station. The station of the Akhirat. Where I will have to stand before Allah. And I will have to answer to Allah Ta'ala that you took the services of the train. You never paid for the ticket. How will I answer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Respected friends, when the consciousness of Akhirat is in the heart of a person, then nothing is going to stop. He'll never lie. He'll never cheat. He'll never deceive. Because he knows Allah is in front of me. I have to answer to my Allah. Otherwise, if a person doesn't have Akhirat in front of him, a person takes his children, he'll go to the zoo. In front there, there'll be a sign that says, children under 12 are free. So he's going in. He's got a 13-year-old that is there with him who looks like a 10-year-old. He nudges his son and he'll tell him, when you're going past, you just tell him you're 10. So the child will go in. When he comes there to the cashier, he'll say, I'm 10 years old. The cashier is not going to ask him to produce his birth certificate. He'll take his word for it, he's a Muslim. Let him go through. Child walk through, you walk through. You got a smirk on your face. By the qasam of Allah, you sold your iman for a lousy 50 bucks. Because that consciousness of akhirat is not there. You taught your child how to lie. You taught your child how to deceive. Why? When that consciousness of akhirat is not there, the person will do anything. A few weeks ago, Malana Katani Sahib was in the madrasa. So he was telling us that after one of the salah, he jumped into one of the musalli's cars. He's giving him a lift. As he was going, he's telling, the musalli is showing him his car. Malana is telling him, hey, there's only 150 kilometers on the odometer. Your car is brand new. He's telling Malana, my car is not brand new. I just disconnected the odometer. So when I sell the car, I can get a better price. Mona says, that's cheating, that's lying to the customer. How are you going to answer to Allah Ta'ala for this? So when that consciousness of Akhirat comes out, and we forget we have to stand and answer before Allah, then anything and everything will go. We will lie, we will rob, we will steal, we will deceive. Every aspect of life is then pushed away. Why? Because we forgot Allah. Now for this, my respected elders and friends, it's extremely important for us to attach our hearts to Akhirat. To understand we have to stand one day before Allah. And we have to account for every deed of ours. That teacher that is teaching in a school. That worker that is working in a business. Who's being paid for his time. 1 minute late he's answerable. He's answerable to his boss, he's answerable to Allah. But that person who got consciousness of Allah in front of him, he'll never rob in filling that time book. He'll never rob in expressing in doing his own personal work during work time. Why? Because he got consciousness of Allah in front of him. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Why? Allah Ta'ala in so beautiful, loving words, he's telling us, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Why are you giving preference to this worldly life? وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Whereas the akhirat is so much better for you and is everlasting. So beautifully, lovingly, Allah is saying to us in the Quran, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Why are you giving preference to this worldly life, whereas the akhirat is so much better and so much and everlasting for you? My respected elders and friends, in order for us to bring this consciousness of akhirat into our lives, our ulama kiram have given us some important guidelines. One of the things they say is, keep on thinking about death. Mutu qabla an tamutu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, think about death before death comes to you. It mustn't be that now the angel of death stares us in the face and at that time we're thinking about death. But daily speak about it, talk about it. Second thing our ulama teach us is visit the qabristan. Visit the graveyard. And amongst the sunnats of the day of Jum'ah is to visit the graveyard. Respected elders and brothers, a time comes in your life and you visit the graveyard. There's more people you know in the graveyard than in a masjid. This is so and so musalli, and this is so and so teacher of mine. That's my father, that's my mother, that's my wife, that's my son, that's my brother, that's my sister. These are all the people that were with me. They lived with me. We did everything together. And now their turn have come, they in the graveyard. Next is my turn. And one of the things, you take our children and go, take our sons and go. Tomorrow when we are lying there in the grave, inshallah, that child of ours will remember, my father used to go, he'll also come, inshallah, and read at our qabrs. And the third thing, respected elders and friends, is that we try and invest for the akhirat. As much as possible, invest. Maulana Badri Alam Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, was a senior alim of Medina Munawwara. He used to mention that the people of Medina Sharif, it was their way and their habit, that when they would reach the age of 40, then they would close up everything. And they would say, enough is enough. We've done enough for the dunya. Now it's our time for us to do something for akhirat. And they would spend the rest of their days thereafter in Masjid an-Nabawi, ala sahibiha salatu wa sallim. May Allah Ta'ala give us that consciousness also. Give us that tawfiq that we can prepare for the akhirat. We realize where we're going to. We understand the journey we're on. And when that moment comes, then Allah be pleased with all of us, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.